You're about to listen to a true story told live, because this is True Stories Live, brought to you by LJ Hope Productions, Norwich Arts Centre, and me, Molly Naylor.
Please welcome Molly Potter.
Just adjust it for the stumpy one. Right, okay, hello. This is about my sixth or seventh True Story Live, I think. And every single one has been sort of material for an anti-CV, really. I think that fundamentally, if it was all collected, all the information I deliver in these stories and put in a dossier, I don't know that people would let me out the house, let alone employ me, in all honesty. This story is very, very loosely linked to Gathering, very tenuously, in that it's got a herd in it. And a herd is a gathering, isn't it? Right? And the True Stories Live audience is, of course, a very forgiving one. So that's it, it's a herd, but it's not even really quite a real herd, so really tenuous, but forgive me. So my story properly starts years and years ago when I trained to be a primary school teacher, back in the days when teaching was fun. We've ruined that profession, but don't get me started on that. And I did my first teaching practice, and it was with a supervising teacher who was older and really experienced, and she was the teacher and I was the student, and it was really hierarchical, as I kind of expected it to be. But my second teaching practice was with somebody called Jackie, and it took me ages before I actually trusted that she wasn't as hierarchical as she genuinely didn't seem to be. She was only in her third year of teaching. She taught me everything she knew in a couple of minutes, and she turned out to be, and basically what happened was a beautiful friendship blossomed. And that friendship initially was based on going out every Friday night to a place that doesn't exist anymore in Tombland called Boswell's. And Boswell's did a chronological disco every Friday night, which started with Glenn Miller. And by the time we got to Gloria Gaynor, we were trashed enough to do I Will Survive Justice, I'll tell you. Me and Jackie, it was great. We also did things like we went camping together, and we spent 10 minutes trying to pretend to be Swedish when the campsite owner came over and we realised that we'd pitched our tent right next to a sign that said, please do not pitch your tent here. And we thought, well, if we pretend we're Swedish, he won't make us move our tent. But he basically worked it out, and at the end he said, stop mucking about your English, which became a bit of a catchphrase with me and Jackie, and you'd be surprised how often that actually works as a really good catchphrase. I remember once, I mean, this is my supervising teacher, she's still teaching me everything I know, obviously. We decided we were going to make a Halloween film one time, and we wanted, you know, before mobile phones, we just wanted those big clunky camera things. And all I remember was lots of screaming, and the one coherent scene was where we'd unwrapped three toilet rolls around Jackie, and she broke out of the toilet roll, and then more screaming. Ah! No, it was brilliant. And the other thing about Jackie was she had, that was a bit weird, she had lots and lots of elephants, not real ones or metaphorical ones in the room. She had numerous ornaments, elephant ornaments. So when you walked into a house, there was a knee-high wooden carving of an elephant. Her living room was filled with, likewise, quite big elephants. Elmer, picture of Elmer, the elephant on the wall. Lots and lots of different ornaments around the house. And strangely, kitchen utensils that you wouldn't think could be made out of elephants, in all honesty. And so this elephant thing had really kind of, you know, they were everywhere. And then one night, I'd even bought her two elephants. I think one with toothpick holder or something like that. But one night when we were in Bosnia, she said to me, thing is, Molly, I hate elephants. But everybody who was near and dear had bought her one, so she couldn't come clean with the elephant thing. She says, actually, I hate it. It's a bit strong, but I've certainly fucking gone off them. So, and it was made worse by the fact that she was a primary school teacher and word had got out in the school that she liked elephants. So at the end of every term came box loads of elephants, more elephants she had to put them in the loft. Bearing in mind, this poor woman absolutely hated elephants. Okay, so that's a significant part of the story, but this story does go all over the place, like my head. So while I was, this friendship with Jackie was blossoming, she was courting this bloke called Jack. And he was called Jack Frost, actually. Jack and Jackie Frost. And it was quite a tumultuous courtship, as in it wasn't straightforward, not helped by the fact that when she first introduced Jack to me, I stuck my finger up his nose and made it bleed. Yes, I know, that's a bit weird, isn't it? It was a phase I had of automatic greeting, and I'm not joking or lying. It's since been suggested to me by my daughter that I might be a bit on the spectrum. Actually, the putting the finger up the nose thing got me out of some trouble once when I was working in the Adam and Eve years and years ago as a student. A gathering of blokes came into the pub. And it was back in the day where, you know, when you rang time, time meant time, or if you served beer, you know, the landlord could lose his licence. So I'd rung the time, and this herd came in, and most of them were fine with the fact they couldn't have beer. But one bloke leans over the bar, grabs me by the scruff of the neck, and says really aggressively, "I want a pint of beer." Without thinking, and completely calmly, I stuck my finger up his nose, and I went, "You can not," and he's going like this, "have a pint of beer." Lifted his nose off of my finger. He was pretty disgusted and horrified. Went over to his friends in the corner of the pub. Told, obviously, I could watch him recounting the story of what had just happened. Back then, I looked about 12. So they all looked round at me behind the bar. And they went, "Yeah, sure she did, mate." I could see it happening. And then after a little while after that, I felt a bit guilty about the fact that I'd just stuck my finger up a customer's nose. And the landlord at the time, Colin, he always did say to us, you know, the customer is always right. He was very proud of customer service. So I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go and come clean. So I went downstairs. I don't know if you know the Adam and Eve. It's got this sort of jump hole that you jump down. And there he was at the end of the bar. And I said, "Sorry, Colin. Was it Moles? I just stuck my finger up a customer's nose." And his response was more weird, I think, than my original sticking up the finger of the nose. He said, "Know what, Moles? If you felt you needed to stick your finger up somebody's nose, I'm 100% behind you." Anyway, off I went back, past laughing. Back to the original story. So the courtship with Jack and Jackie Frost, I always like to say, did eventually work out, and they were to be married. And Jackie asked me if I'd do a speech at her wedding. And this was back in the day when I didn't really know the gravity of being asked to do a speech at a wedding. I've since done about 6 speeches at weddings, and I meticulously planned them, and you'll understand why in a minute. I didn't really think about Jackie's speech at her wedding, and the week before her wedding, I was in Istanbul on holiday with my sister. And it was on the plane back on the morning of the wedding, I suddenly thought, oh, I better kind of think about this speech, hadn't I? And I thought, oh, I know what, be easy, I'll write a poem, because, I mean, you know, rhyme 2 and 4, easy peasy. Wrote a few verses. And eventually my sister, I mean, we hadn't slept very well in the last few nights in Istanbul. My sister eventually says, "Why don't you say Jackie's got elephantitis?" And I said, "Oh, yes, fantastic. That'll be my gift to Jackie. I can stop this elephant shit for once and for all, and I can tell all her nearest and dearest that she doesn't actually like elephants. She hates them, which in itself is a little autistic. I will give you that, because, you know, that could cause upset." So I'm on the plane, get back to Heathrow, drive, bomb back, get showered and changed and rushed to the wedding, and we have our food, and then it inevitably comes to the point where it's time for the speeches, and I stand up, start my poem. There's lots of laughter and it's quite funny, and the only line I can remember was, "When Jackie first showed me Jack, I thought she was joking. Can't remember the rest. But that's it. Everybody thought that was funny because if you met Jack, you'd understand that. And then, I did a bit more of the poem, and then I got to the line, and bearing in mind this is on the back of an envelope on the that I'd written on the plane, it got to the line, Jackie's got elephantitis, and I just read it out. As the tumbleweed rolled across the reception, see, Jackie was not a petite woman. And it was at, and I kid you not, it was at that point, that very point, I realised what I'd just done. Because I was going to just, so I then tried to backtrack in the most terrible way. No, I don't, no, no, the, no, wait, just stop fucking buying elephants for Jackie. Fortunately, Jackie is a very forgiving person and she just thought, oh, it's just Molly doing her usual weird, funny, God no, you know, whatever. But there were quite a few aunts at the Kaylee in the evening who gave me the cold shoulder and I kept wondering why these aunts kept just walking away from me. But I'd obviously disgraced myself to some extent. The story doesn't quite finish there. It does nearly finish. I'm sure I've gone over 10 minutes. Doesn't quite finish there because about 2 or 3 years later, an Aussie friend of mine sent her Aussie friend to stay with me because she was researching her family tree. And she, I told her the story of Jackie. I mean, we were drinking some wine and it was all, you know, funny. And I told her that story and she went back to Oz and she wrote that story as if it was her fucking story. And she sent me a copy of it with copyright written on every page. And she didn't send me the last page either because she was so worried I was going to publish it, which I think is very my story. Anyway, and now there should be a point of a punchline, but I guess the punchline was I said that a woman looked like an elephant on her wedding day. So maybe I'll just end with, do you think I should stay indoors?
True Stories Live is a story show and story finding project brought to you by LJ Hope Productions, Norwich Arts Centre and me, Molly Naylor. For more information about all of the work that we do, head to our website truestorieslive.co.uk.